guys, welcome to the post game show.
Wait, this is the post game show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Grace changed and I'm wearing a hat. We're just relaxed now.
We're with our friends.
We put on that smooth, that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
Really,
is that Miles Davis?
I love that kind of jazz. That is jazz, right?
Sunny? Yeah, that's an honor of Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
That's my favorite kind of jazz. The jazz where it's just like nonstop chaotic stuffs.
Regardless of, bebop.
I said stuffs.
Bebop does that acidy.
Yeah.
Just play the right notes. That's Angela from The Office talking about jazz and how she hates it.
Just play the right notes.
Which I lost a bet to my wife because I thought it was they're just playing the right notes, because that's also jazz where you just learn what notes are safe and you play them in kind of whatever order.
So is it true that jazz, like they just, not the jazz that Bart just played, but like the jazz that I'm talking about where it's like chaos, is it true that they just kind of like improvise?
Well, there's this thing called making the changes where you know what chord they're gonna play next and you hit the change, you hit the chords in the notes in that chord, but between there you go crazy. But like there's these Camarillo recordings where like the bird did a bunch of heroin and they just would do heroin and go.
Really?
Yeah. Charlie Parker did these with Camarillo. He would go to he was committed to the mental institution in Camarillo.
You know so much random shit. Like, how do you know all this random stuff?
I was really into music.
So busy up here.
I'm a blues musician.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've seen him play guitar before.
You haven't heard of the Jimmy Jane Blues Party? You haven't heard of North of Cuba?
Oh, actually, I'm one of the biggest fans of North of Cuba.
I'll play.
Pitbull and Jimmy Jane Blues Party. That's all Anna listens to, and everyone knows that.
You haven't the Jimmy Jane? We played the Whiskey, the Roxy, and the Coconut Teaser.
Really? You played the Roxy?
Yeah.
You played at the Whiskey.
I played at the Whiskey a Go Go circa 01.
Was it still pay to play?
It's always pay to play. That's the secret about the risk Whiskey and the Roxy is essentially you show up and are like, I want 100 tickets, or like for us it's like 40 tickets at $5 a pop. You get to, we'll sell them.
Uh-huh.
So they guaranteed that. And you start playing on like a Tuesday, but we opened for Dave Davies one night and he's the guy from the Kinks.
What?
You really got me. You really got me.
That's awesome.
Girl. Yeah.
Do you guys know Bonobo by any chance?
I mean, I know the pant company and the monkeys that give each other blowjobs, but I also know that someone that I follow on Instagram went to their concert last night.
Who?
I don't know.
I went to their concert last night as well.
Did you upload things on Instagram? Because it might have been you.
No, I didn't. I had really bad internet reception. Bonobo is, I know very little about the person or the people behind Bonobo, but it's like electronic music, and they incorporate like classical instruments, and it's like a mix of dance music and classical music, and it's phenomenal. And I was okay, so
what is about to be revealed? What a pregnant
My cat
pause.
Just got in a fight, so it better be good.
No, it's. There's sometimes music makes you feel things, right? And it's like almost a religious experience sometimes. And I know I sound overly dramatic, and I apologize
if
it's making
you
guys roll your eyes at me for this. But like, so I don't know all the people behind Bonobo. I just know I love their music and have been enjoying their music since the early 2000s. And there's one singer who I never even knew what she looked like. I just always loved her voice. And last night I got to see who she was. And she was like wearing this long flowy dress. And she was just like kind of dancing like this. And I know it sounds like some crazy hippie shit. And you guys are probably rolling your eyes. But I was like, I love this music so much. It makes me feel things. And she's so beautiful. She's a goddess. And it was like, it was weird. Like
it's not that weird. Anyone that was aware of like Stevie Nicks when she first like came out, I think a lot of people had that same reaction and still to this day do. I don't think that's that weird. Is it weird?
Wait, I don't know. What? I was looking for this person on Instagram. What'd you say?
Nothing. Sorry. Anyway, whatever. This is random.
What a jerk. Sorry.
We had a no. It's okay. We had a topic planned that I think is way more interesting than me rambling on about like my religious experience with music. So let's go to that. So Grace.
Oh God.
I've always wondered, like, because I know that women, especially gay women, get approached by other women who identify as straight but want to experiment, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And isn't that fucking insulting that they come to you and they're just, first of all, have you experienced that?
Or on the other side, is it great?
Okay, I have experienced that in my younger years, and I don't think it was, I did not feel insulted. Mm-hmm. I felt very excited at the time because I went to a small conservative Southern school. So that was like, you do? Like what? Amazing. What good fortune for me. I think there's probably a way that it could be presented to someone in a way that is insulting. So I know where you're coming from. If someone would be like, hey, like I'm not gay, but
I'd like to experiment.
Yeah,
like,
but
I'd
you
like
look
to use
very
you as an
gay
experiment.
Right. And I experiment with you. And I think also it depends on if everyone is on the same page. So sort of a trope that a lot of queer girls or queer people will fall into at some point in time, it's almost a rite of passage, is falling for a straight girl who may fall for you or a straight person. And then you kind of think that you're both on the same page, that this could lead to something, and then just getting dropped.
Oh my
God.
And
it happens, and it's sort of before you, you know, it's part of figuring out your sexuality. I think it doesn't happen to everyone, but it definitely happened to me and a lot of other queer people that I know have this experience. But then what happened with me was that you move forward and you get to a place of like, look, if you're sort of experimenting, that is cool, but then this is gonna be an experiment for me too. And that's sort of a non-committal situation. I think it's dangerous to commit to someone or to want to commit to someone who has outwardly just said that they are just wanting to try something new. Experimenting with your sexuality is all good and well. I actually would encourage it. But experimenting with someone's heart is dangerous and people get sad.
Oh my God.
And I like that they communicate that at the beginning, if they do. They're like, I am experimenting here, and then giving you the option to like opt in or out at that point.
Well, usually a girl would just be sort of like flirty with me, and then I would ask the question, like, are you gay or are you queer or something like that? And then be like, oh no, like I'm not, but like I don't know, like well, I was drinking at this time, it's all kind of a blur. So
really,
but
could you tell the difference between someone who like instantly by looking at them, like the person who like said, oh, I don't know, and meant it, versus was like, no, they definitely want it right now, but they're just afraid to say it?
I think it's quite similar with straight people. I think you can read body language and dynamics. So yeah, I think that it if I can recall, but again, this was all so long ago, just spat, whoopsies. And
she's getting excited,
foaming at the mouth, thinking of my past.
Is that a lesbian thing?
is that a lesbian thing? So no, I think that it goes with all sorts of relationship dynamics, that you can sense when someone, or even when you are being coy, you feel it too.
Yeah.
That you do want to go further, but you're just playing a little hard to get.
I just see all those, like, I watched the Ozarks. Did you see that show?
Yes.
No.
And there's like an arc, not to ruin it. I mean, it's not really ruining it.
Is there a lesbian arc?
No, there's a gay guy arc. But it's something that you see over and over again in television and movies, where like there's a gay guy and then there's a guy who hates him and wants to beat him up. And then they start making out and hitting, and then he hits them and beats and like abuses him.
I know.
It's weird that like I totally know what you're saying about like the straight girl who's like, you know, experimenting, and that being like the thing people think of. And then on the other side, gender-wise, it's like this really terrifying, intense thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird because again, society is super accepting of women who want to experiment, but for men, like they don't really get that same treatment. Like mm-hmm. it's definitely a double standard. And you know, I've been asked, you know, in the past, I think by Cenk maybe even on the show, about whether I would be willing to seriously date a guy who had experimented. And when I was a lot younger, I was like, no, there's no way, right? And it was because I had bought into this idea that if a man experiments, it means he's gay, no matter what, he's gay, right? But that's not true. It's not necessarily true. So I've opened my mind up when it comes to that issue, and like, yeah, I would definitely be receptive to being in a serious relationship with a guy who did experiment.
Mm-hmm. So one of my first kisses with a girl was explaining to her how I kissed a guy once.
You kissed a guy once?
I kissed a guy. Depends on how many performances we had. It was like 34 performances over a month. I played a gay guy in a play.
Oh.
And I was in two plays at the time. And
was there tongue or was
I had
it just
to,
like a
no, it was super choreographed by like the drama department's expert teachers. They're like, Kay Kostopoulos, who's freaking dynamite. She's amazing. She's like, all right, guys. Because I was in one play with John and Joanna, and they were dating each other at the time. Oh. And I had to kiss both of them in two different plays, and it was weird.
Oh.
But
fiery.
Kay was like, all right, this is what it is. We're one, we're two, you pull away. Three, you kiss him. Four, you're away. Five, you're on top of him. Lights out. We're gonna do it five times without kissing. Ready? One, two, three, and she took us through over and over and over again.
So it became it was like
super
mechanical.
So it was a dance. Yeah. It was a choreographed thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, we were both like, thank fucking God she's here, because we were just like bros and everything. But when I kissed this girl, she was like, you kissed a guy? And I was like, yeah, I was in a play. She was like, what was that like? And I was like, it's like this. And then I kissed her.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a good line.
And then we like kissed for real. And then afterwards, she's like, wait. And like it was like a makeout. She pulled away and was like, wait, was it like that in the play?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, this is more intense. And now she's my wife.
Was it? No.
Yeah, that was her.
That was her?
Yep.
That's amazing.
So our first kiss was me saying, this is how I kissed a guy.
That's amazing. I didn't know that story.
Wait. I love it. It's better than other ones where it's like, oh, it was awkward and we got drunk.
Wait, you're not fucking with us. That's the
actual.
That's
100%.
That's so
that
cute.
That is amazing.
Yeah. It was like this.
I love knowing that about you now.
We're closer, you and I.
Should we talk about our first kisses with our significant others?
Sure. Do you remember yours?
Yeah, I remember mine.
Go, you go.
Okay.
So no, I lost a bet.
No, I didn't lose. Believe me, I didn't lose a bet. I wanted to kiss him, but I was like super nervous. Because remember, Christian was supposed to be a fun, like, one night stand. Like I had just ended a 7-year relationship and I was so rusty when it came to dating. I didn't even know how to like, you know, communicate that I was interested in guys.
Right.
So I was like super awkward around men, even when I knew they were interested in me. So Christian, here's what happened. We go out on a date and it wasn't even a date. Like he hit me up on a Friday night.
Nice.
And he's like, what are you doing? And he had been so flaky before that I was like, I'm going out with my girlfriends to the House of Blues. Meet me there if you want to come. But I did not think he was going to come. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking up the stairs at the House of Blues in West Hollywood. And there's a super hot guy standing at the top of the stairs waiting. And all of us looked at him. And I had forgotten what he looked like because
yes.
I met him like a month before at a dark club. So I was like, oh, who's that hot guy? And all of us were thinking the same thing. And then he text messaged me and he's like, I think you just walked by me, but I'm not sure. And I was like, oh my God, that guy, it was that guy. And then I got nervous all of a sudden. And so my best friend Lauren, okay, go ahead.
No, so I kissed 30 guys at the place just to make sure, and one of them was him. Sorry.
So my best friend Lauren was there and she was kind of giving me pointers because I had, you know, again, I was rusty. And so she's like, do you like him? And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay. Then she's like, you need to make it obvious because you're not making it obvious right now. And so we were watching like a band play and the entire time I was like this.
Mm. Yeah, that says, come and get it, boys.
So, and then he kept doing like, I was so afraid of being rejected. Lauren's like, you need to like try to hold his hand. And I'm like, no, what if he like moves his hand away? I'm gonna die. This is the first time, this is the first guy after my relationship that I'm trying to like make moves on. And if I get rejected, it's gonna destroy me. And I don't remember, no, alcohol happened. So,
makes a difference.
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
So we left the House of Blues.
Whose blood is alcohol, by the way? Continue.
That's true. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, it is true. Because
if you're Catholic, it is alcohol.
Yeah.
If you're Protestant, it's symbolized by alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry, yeah. I interrupt like a shit.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So the kiss happened when we left the House of Blues. We went to a club, Sky Bar, I think,
yes.
And he he bought us a round of drinks. I had my second drink. We started dancing on the dance floor. And then that one song, the one that goes,
oh God,
suave. Besame, suave. You know, they keep saying besame.
Besame, besame.
Yeah. And so he was like kind of singing the song as we were dancing. And then when, at one point when Kiss came up again, I was like, I'm fucking going for it.
So you went for it?
So we both actually went in for it at the same time. And it was a good kiss. So that was our first kiss. And
on the dance
were you sweaty?
That's cute.
Was it like a sweaty club experience? Like you'd been like dancing and like you get close?
Yeah, God, I think so.
Those are the memories.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good first kiss and I was impressed by it because it was like I like aggressive kisses. I don't like soft kisses. Like I fucking hate soft kisses. They creep me out. Like give me a-
Who's giving you soft kisses now?
I've had soft-
Like who? You're saying this like this is a prominent problem in your life. Like I'm sick of the soft kisses.
What is the deal with the soft kisses?
Who are these dead fish that are kissing you?
No, I've had many a soft kiss, okay? But Christian is not a soft kisser.
Like on your confirmation day.
Just a soft open mouth like a-
I want like, especially a first kiss.
Just like a little drool.
Gross. I want to be pushed up against the wall. And I want to feel like the force of that kiss. And he was good at that. So it was good. It was good all around.
That's good for you.
Yeah, but okay, great.
Okay, so a pretty simple story. Lizzie and I met in college. We met in a classroom. And I figured out that we had a mutual friend in the class. So I went up to this mutual friend and I said, hey, fun fact, wasn't sure if you knew, but I'm gay. One, two, I have a big crush on your friend, Lizzie. What's her deal? And so from that, this friend started sort of finding occasions for us to like be in the same place because we weren't in the same friend group at all. And one of said occasions after like kind of knowing each other for about 5 months, but not really being friends, was I invited some of her friends and some of my friends over to have like a game night. I don't know, but it was like a drunken college game night sort of thing. And we were playing like beer pong and it was very small. It was like only six people showed up to my party.
You orchestrated a party.
Yeah, but no one was there. It was like the end of school. So I was like, oh, just like come over to my place. It's like super low key, but I changed my outfit a whole bunch of times. I decided on red gym shorts and a t-shirt. Nailed it. And to
what
my
were
party.
The other
did
options?
You know, did
blue
you know
gym shorts and a t-shirt?
Like Lizzie's
was gay?
Yeah, did you?
I did actually, because okay. Sarah told me that my friend was like, oh, well, that's so cool. Lizzie is actually gay. And I was like, amazing. Didn't really consider that, but awesome that she's down. And then she was like, she's also in a relationship right now. And I was like, fuck. But then that, you know,
you
ran its
you
course.
Destroyed that.
I yeah. didn't. I was just like a little friend on the side popping up. But anyway, they come over. We're having like a game night. And towards the end of the night, Sarah, who is now very heavily plotting because Lizzie was about to leave for Berkeley. And I was going to be in North Carolina. She was going to be in the West Coast. So Sarah was like, I really want to make something happen. I think you guys would be good for each other. Sarah's like, let's play Truth or Dare. And it was all girls. And so we were playing like pretty like a harmless Truth or Dare, very safe. Like, when were you in love and that sort of stuff. And then Sarah was just like, Grace, I dare you to kiss Lizzie, which was like not how the game was going. Like right. No one was like, again, it's like me gay and like straight and Lizzie right. gay and then oh, and straight girls. So for Sarah to be like, kiss Lizzie, like it was very right. like on the spot.
It's also a little on the nose.
On the
yeah.
nose.
Two lesbians. Yeah. So
I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And I remember thinking that I really liked Lizzie and I didn't want our first kiss to be in Truth or Dare, but everyone was like, come on, I kiss. I was like, what are we, 12? So I just got up and I kissed her and she has said that it was a good first kiss. And then later that night, everyone left. It was like, we stayed out just sort of talking and stuff until about 4 a.m. and everyone was leaving and Sarah came up to me and she was like, Grace, I really think you should invite Lizzie over. Like you should ask her to stay tonight. You should ask her to stay. You guys can have more time before she leaves for Berkeley. And I told Sarah, I was like, no, because I'm gonna marry her. So I don't need this night because I have our lives. Something like that. It was the drunken confidence, but now we're engaged. So that was
Grace. You're so fucking lovable. Isn't Grace
story.
Lovable? Like I love
yes.
Grace.
Yes.
That's
after
so sweet.
Eventually.
After a while.
Once you get to know her. No, it's funny because the first time I reached out via digital media to my now wife, she thought she squealed and said to her sister, "You guys are invited to the wedding," and they
really.
her sister's girlfriend was not invited to the wedding because they're not together anymore. But
oh.
But her sister was there. So sorry, Amy. Major bad.
Not invited.
Not invited.
Not invited. When did you know that Christian was your husband?
Okay, that's hard to answer, but I do know.
How romantic.
No, because like when did I know that we were gonna get married? I don't remember that moment, but I do remember the moment that I realized that I loved him. Mm-hmm. And it was like pretty crazy because I didn't want to love him. Like I really did not want to fall in love with
that.
Him. Yeah, like I'm not kidding. I wanted him to be my first one night stand, mm-hmm. right? I'm like, yeah, he's a hot former professional athlete. He's gonna be my one night stand.
He turned into the opposite.
He ended up being my husband. And but I realized that I loved him. It was in 2014. I was alone in my apartment. I was watching a documentary on Netflix. I was thinking about him. And at that point, I had like pushed him away because I was really afraid of, you know, getting hurt by him. And I was like, no, he's the exact kind of guy that would hurt me. He's, you know, a lot of women hit on him. He works in an environment that's full of super attractive women. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get cheated on. I just need to I picked a fight with him and tried to stop talking to him. And so we had stopped talking for a little while. And then this one night, I'm in my apartment alone watching a Netflix documentary. And I can't stop thinking about him. And I'm like, fuck. I already love him and I want him to be in my life, but I've pushed him away. I fucked up. I pushed him away and it's too late. And I had too much pride to like, I know.
This is the best two shot of the world. It's just like wistful grace, hoping it works out, knowing that
I want to hear the end of the story.
And I just had way too much pride to call him and tell him, I'm sorry, I picked that fight. I didn't mean it. It's just I'm afraid of getting hurt.
So romantic.
So I just kind of like left it alone. I'm like, I'll eventually get over it. You know, time heals all wounds. And then he actually reached out to me while I was at Coachella on ecstasy.
Having the time of your life.
What?
Yeah.
Did not expect ecstasy.
Yeah.
So he calls you on ecstasy. Do you remember this happening?
Oh, he didn't call me. He text messaged me because I had been posting pictures of, you know, me and my friends at Coachella on social media.
of cactuses that at the time I thought looked amazing.
Yeah. That I hugged. I hugged them. It was weird.
I was bleeding, but I loved it. It felt really good. He sent me a text message and all it said was, are you at Coachella? And like since, you know, I was in a different state of mind at that moment, my state of mind had been compromised by MDMA and possibly other things that were cut.
Who knows?
Into that pill.
HGTV.
Yeah. I responded back like, I miss you so much. Like, I don't know, shit like that.
But it wasn't like you made that up. You had been thinking it.
I had been thinking it, exactly.
And your inhibitions were down, but in a good way.
In a
where
good
you
way.
Could communicate
in a good
your
way.
True feelings.
And what was good about that was, you know, that gave him the green light to kind of open up to me. And he, even though he didn't do it that day through text, he like insisted on seeing me the day that I came back from Coachella. And so that was when things kind of started to get serious. And it was great. Yeah.
I love how love finds a way.
Yeah. Alcohol, drugs.
Yep, and that too, and ecstasy finds a way.
Yeah.
We almost broke up, but she made me a mousse. And then we got back together.
She made you a mousse?
She made me a mousse toilet.
Oh my gosh.
She made me antlers for a mousse. We like, I don't know.
What?
So I had this idea for this thing called Moose Toilet, which you should go watch on the internet.
It's really good.
It's a toilet. I'm a toilet. I'm also a moose.
Okay.
I want what you got inside your caboose. And so it's a toilet. If you ever look at a toilet, you know, it looks like this. And then if you put, I was peeing once and someone had two toilet paper rolls on top.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like eyes. And then
on
I
top
pictured,
of the tank.
Yeah, and she made me these awesome antlers to go. And so now Moose Toilet looked like this. I don't know if people at home are probably already pulling up Moose Toilet, but it looked like that. So it looked like, I don't know.
Oh, it's really hard to see that.
So So you can see.
So she put.
She made antlers and she sent them to me. And it cost her like $350 with everything and to send this like big thing. They're like this big. And I was like, she believes in me.
Yeah, that's big.
And I don't believe in anything. And I want to be someone to believe in. It's for Mr. Jones. I don't do raw emotional moments well. So I start with Counting Crows songs.
Yeah, got it.
So that's
when
that.
Did you tell her you loved her for the first time?
My friend's 30th birthday party.
Were you the first to say I love you?
She said it once in her sleep, so it was okay.
Aww. We're learning so much today.
She said it first, but she doesn't believe that she said it first, so we each think the other said it first.
Oh, it's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
How do you know that she was saying it to you?
Yeah, could be.
It might have
what
been.
What if it was like, did she say, I love you, Brett Ehrlich, or?
No, she said, I love you, Elephant Dream. She was dreaming about elephant. I don't know, but I took it to be me. No, she.
Thanks for ruining that for him.
Sorry. I know. Grace, I should have.
You'd think she's lovable, but then she does something like that, and you don't know.
Field like
what?
How do you know?
Yeah.
How about you? What was the first time you told your betrothed?
I was in a nap. She'd woke me up from a nap, and I kind of just said, "I love you." And I didn't mean to. I had planned like a big moment on top of a mountain, but we were going hiking. But when we got to the top of the mountain, I was very out of breath and I couldn't do it. She hikes too fast. I told her we could have had an amazing I love you. Didn't happen that way. So then afterwards I passed out and I had to take a nap. And then she like came to wake me up and I was like, I love you. And she was like, what? And I was like, well, there's that.
Did she say it back?
She did. Yeah, aww. She said it back. So that was good. When did you tell Chris?
She didn't mean it, but she said it.
Yeah, she said it.
To be polite.
He was first.
Bold.
Yeah, the first time I saw it coming, and the first time I saw it coming, I freaked out.
Even phrasing, though, boom, nailed it. Continue, nothing.
Wait, what?
Just, well, it's phrasing.
The coming, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But the ironic thing is, okay.
Okay, that's enough. Don't. Yeah. That's where I will stop you. I will stop
okay.
you.
Okay, but anyway,
so you saw it coming. So you yeah, saw him about to say it.
Yes, and I stopped him because I got nervous. I don't know why. And then the second time I let it happen and I said it back.
Okay, so what did he look like? Like what about him made you say, oh God?
He gazed into my eyes.
Yeah.
It was just, I just saw it. And I'm like.
I used to do this bit where it was like, when girls say that, they think it's like this first moment when it's beautiful and. And it's and like the sky opens up and the angels go, I love you. Oh. But for guys, it just sounds like, I love you. I want to shop with your mom. Let's go to Bed Bath and pick out underpants for you.
Oh my God, that's a thing though. That
I
is
love
a thing.
You. And we're just like, anything else? Anything else you want to say?
Just something for you guys to think about.
We do love love. I feel like we kind of shit on it a little bit, but we do love it.
We committed.
Yeah, I don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
That's not what love is.
Wait, Ann, I was going to be like, what a pivot. Ann, I don't want to be alone.
Ooh.
I love love.
Actually, sometimes I do want to be alone.
That's what love is. Like this weekend, she was like, I want to go to an air show. And I was like, she didn't invite me. That's love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Like, see ya. Have fun.
Love is a partnership, you know, and that's the best part about it. Love is great. I mean, and also just going back to the first part of this relationship conversation. Well, not the first part, but the part about kissing and falling in love. Like, falling in love is the best feeling, right? Like having that first kiss and feeling like that those butterflies and that excitement, like that's fucking awesome, you know?
This is pretty crazy what our bodies put us through.
Just so
not in a weird way, just like in the how hyped you get when someone holds your hand.
Yeah.
You know, for the first time, when someone reaches to hold your hand, you're like, oh, you wanna be in this with me? And yeah. I wanna be in this with you too?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're just using each other, but maybe. We'll use each other forever.
And for good.
Yeah.
Mm. Not good. I feel like we solved love, everyone.
We solved everything.
That's what we
promise did. We're all in healthy relationships.
Yeah, I know. All right, guys, thanks for watching. That does it for the post-game show. Next post-game show will be hosted probably by Dave Kohler, and it'll be great. So you don't want to miss that. We will see you guys tomorrow.